You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is a dear friend of the station and one of our professors here on campus, also the director of the Inter-American Jewish Studies Program, Dr. Ezra Capel. Ezra, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me back, Louis. Glad to be here.
And every time we have you on, people who do not know much about Judaism learn about the holidays and other things. But also, you've brought in some great guests. And, the last time when you brought in the writer, author of Maus, and I felt so bad because I couldn't come in because I was not doing well. But you've brought in some great guests, and this is no exception. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming guests. But first, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about the Inter-American Jewish Studies Program.
Well, sure, Louis. The Jewish Studies Program, Inter-American Jewish Studies Program at UTEP, focuses on all sorts of aspects of Jewish culture, Jewish history. And basically, I teach courses in Jewish literature because my area is literature in the English department. We also offer courses in the history department, in the philosophy department, languages and linguistics. We offer Hebrew language. And it's an interdisciplinary program that really fits in nicely with basically every major out there. We now offer a minor course of study, and many students are fascinated by Jewish culture and want to take one or two classes, and many of them want to continue on and actually complete the full 18-credit minor. So something now that we've recently celebrated our 10th anniversary of being around here on campus, and really proud of our students, our current students, and our former students who are now off in the world and doing great things. And so it's great to keep track of our wonderful UTEP graduates.
And one of the things that you do for your students, and I'm not sure if you're still continuing to do that, but every summer you take them to New York, and not only do they learn about some of these places where Jewish people were living and some of the slums because, they were not treated well. And, of course, also you run into some interesting people because I think one of the times you were there, you ran into Philip Roth.
Yes, we did. I try to have those sort of opportunities for our students. Sometimes they're random happenings on the streets of New York, and often they are planned ahead of time to have them meet with writers and artists. When we do that summer educational travel course, we visit the working studio of artist Toby Kahn, for example, who was here a few years back at UTEP. And, so we try to set up these opportunities for students to meet with real New Yorkers, their regular people or artists or writers, and just get a feel for the city and understand what life in New York is like. And most importantly, also, you mentioned about the immigrant experience, which I think so many of our students have that in their family background here on the borderland. And it's a remarkable experience to go there and visit Ellis Island, or we do walking tours of the Lower East Side and see how the immigrants lived in the Tenement Museum, for example, and to see the difficult lives that immigrants had when they first came here, but yet the striving and the desire to have a better life for the next generation, which is what brought so many people fleeing persecution to these shores. And of course, right now, we are dealing with shutting out immigrants and closing that door. And so this is something that my students and I have been talking about quite a bit. We go and visit the Statue of Liberty when we visit New York, and we study the text, the poem by the great Jewish American poet Emma Lazarus that is inscribed on the base of the Statue of Liberty, in which she says, send us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And when you know those words that are inscribed there, it's pretty ironic to think about shutting that door to people who just want to flee persecution, people who want to make a better life for themselves.
And so, as you just mentioned, your courses are very topical because not just about like the immigration situation going on right now, but because of what's going on in the news and ISIS and Middle East, and a lot of people are interested and want to learn more about Israeli history.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, it's something that we are working on offering is another educational travel course, perhaps even this summer, to study Israeli and Palestinian literature in translation and go to those places and visit them and see what life is like there and explore those countries, to explore Israel, to explore Palestine, to try to see through the literature what we might understand about those groups and try to understand about the situation, as it's called, right? The awful conflict that's been plaguing Israel for so long. So that is something that we are working on right now. You mentioned our educational travel course to New York. We actually just completed an educational travel course in Poland over the winter semester just a few weeks ago. And we visited Warsaw and Krakow and Oswęcim, which is the border city where the Nazis established the most notorious killing center, Auschwitz. And our students had a two-day study tour of Auschwitz, in which we were there and actually walking the camp, Auschwitz I, Auschwitz II, and Birkenau, and sort of and really learning much more viscerally about the experience we read about in Primo Levi and Elie Wiesel and so many other survivor testimonies.
I mentioned earlier that your program sponsors a lot of guest speakers. And as we were discussing earlier about social media, the name Zuckerberg is no strange name to anybody who uses social media. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us about Randi Zuckerberg and when her visit and what she's going to talk about.
Yeah, we are very excited because our upcoming event, February 21st, Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock in the UGLC, room 106, we are going to have here on campus Randi Zuckerberg, who was the first media director of Facebook, and now she is the founder of Zuckerberg Media, a major media company in New York. And Randi is big sister to Mark Zuckerberg, of course, the founder of Facebook. And she was instrumental in getting Facebook out there and getting it recognized. You know, at first it was, you know, if you've seen the movie, you know, the ways in which it it got started. And she was majorly involved in those aspects of getting it promoted and was also one of the launchers of Facebook Live. And so since then, she's gone on to found her own media company in New York. And she's actually also quite an accomplished singer, an actor. She starred in the leading role on a Broadway musical, Rock of Ages. And she's also been nominated for an Emmy for her reporting during the 2008 election cycle.
And as you mentioned, with Facebook, it's gotten to the point where if you meet someone, they don't ask you, what's your phone number? What do you have a Facebook page?
Right. I know. It's really remarkable how omnipresent Facebook is and all of social media for that matter. And so one of the things that we want Randi to be addressing is to thinking about to come to campus and talk about those issues that a lot of people are grappling with, right? How do we balance Facebook and how do we balance social media with family time? People are so tethered to their electronic devices that they seemingly are missing out on an awful lot of what's happening in the world. Randi Zuckerberg, in addition to doing all of that, she's the author of three books. And in her book, she often comes back to that issue of how do we balance, you know, media and family time. One of her books is a wonderful children's book. I was reading it to my daughter this morning, actually, and she loved it, called Dot. And it's about a young girl who is adept at media, at devices, at learning how to use all of these different electronic devices, but has to relearn that she could do the same things outside in the real world and gets off these devices and gets out to play with her friends, you know, at the end of the book, which is, you know, important to remember because so many kids are using these devices, which can be a benefit. It could be a great learning tool, but could also be something that, if not balanced with other parts of life, can be quite detrimental.
And what a great storyline she has there, because as you mentioned, some people are even using phones or pads, Kindles, as babysitters. They're doing something, so they give the child one of these electronic devices, and so they're on their own.
Yeah, I mean, in her adult book, called Dot Complicated, Randi gets into many of these issues about how should parents, you know, balance those social media versus the real world, you know, virtual reality versus reality itself. And what are the foibles of that? And what are, you know, when kids are getting older, when they're in high school, there are even more concerns, right, about what's happening on social media, about what people are sharing and what they should be sharing with their friends. Social media can be a wonderful way to connect people, but it could also be a dangerous place, particularly for youngsters.
We were discussing earlier about technology in the future, and not too long ago, like I interviewed Dr. Perry from Indiana State University from the Sinclair Lewis Society about it can't happen here. And 1984 is really becoming a big seller again now, and you wanted to talk a little bit about Saul Bellow and his novel.
Sure. About those dystopian novels that look at so many of the concerns of that you know we have in America, and certainly today, I would add to that list Philip Roth's novel, The Plot Against America. You know, novelists have always been at the forefront of, you know, of what is happening in our culture, and to try to have a sort of like an early warning system. And Saul Bellow, the great Jewish Nobel Prize winning author, one of his earliest novels is called The Adventures of Augie March, which was published way back, won the National Book Award in 1953. And while we're talking about communication and the information age, it's important to realize that we didn't get to the point where we are today just, you know, last week. Facebook didn't invent the information age. It's just made it that much more omnipresent for us in our lives. And one of his characters sort of at one point in the novel, you know, trying to decide on what he should do. It's sort of a Bildungsroman, a novel of becoming. And in it, he talks about these issues. And he says at one point, he says, quote, "I thought if I knew more about my problem, if I knew more, my problem would be simplified and maybe I should complete my formal education." And he goes on to think about this, about what he should do. And he talks about all this information. He says, why all of this stuff, it's just not utilizable. He says, you go and pile on top of that more advice and information. Anything that just adds information that you can't use is plain dangerous, he says. And he says, there's too much of everything of this kind that's come home to me. Too much history and culture to keep track of. Too many details, too much news, too much example, too much influence. Too many guys who tell you to be as they are. And all this hugeness, abundance, turbulence, Niagara Falls torrents, which who is supposed to interpret? Me? I haven't got that much head to master it all. I get carried away. It doesn't give my feelings enough of a chance if I have to store up and become like an encyclopedia. And so, you know, that was written, you know, that was published in 1953. And so it's kind of remarkable to think about that the questions and the issues and the concerns that Augie has with the proliferation of information and how do we sort it? How do we do with it? What Bella talked about was the need to specialize, right? And that we could spend all of our lives specializing and just trying to get a handle on information. And that, you know, I think that is so important, right, to think about that, right? That, you know, if you, this idea, information that you can't use is dangerous, he says. It's not frivolous, notice, right? He says it's dangerous, right? Why is it dangerous? Because it fills our head with things that we don't need, and the things that we do need, we're forgetting about, right? You know, we have 1,000 pictures, you know, on Facebook about cute kittens, which are great, don't get me wrong. And every meal that we've made in the last, you know, 6 years, but, you know, what is really important in life? What are the values? What are the core bedrock values that we have and that we want to have as individuals and as a society? And I think that, you know, Randi Zuckerberg, in her work, is trying to think about those issues. Ironically, right? I mean, she's left Facebook, and Facebook is sort of at the center of these questions and these issues, right, about information. And not all information is equal, right? There's real news and there's fake news. And Facebook, unfortunately, has been at the forefront because it is putting out there for millions of people, connecting people. Fake news, once it gets into their news feed, is disseminated to literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of people. And so that could have quite a virulent effect on our society, on our culture. And I think we're seeing that today. And I think that Randi Zuckerberg is going to talk about some of the ways that we can try to stop that. And I think Facebook itself has done some work in the last few months to try to filter those things, right? I mean, the idea of everything just being totally out there and open and not questioned is perhaps we're seeing some of the perhaps unintended consequences of that freedom.
You wanted to share something from her book, Dot Complicated, if you wouldn't mind reading that, and then we'll wrap up by, ironically, talking about a web page or Facebook where you can find that information.
Absolutely. Well, in Dot Complicated, there was a famous incident in which, you know, there was a lot of talk of Facebook and their privacy settings. And Randi Zuckerberg had put on her private Facebook page a photo of her family at some dinner, and they were all there together acting a little goofy. And she hadn't intended it to get out there in the public domain. And somebody had gotten a hold of it, somebody who was a friend of hers, right, who had access to those photos, and then I guess took a screenshot and it went viral because Mark Zuckerberg, her brother, her younger brother, and the founder of Facebook was in there. And so she was getting an awful lot. It went viral, the idea that, oh, here, Randy Zuckerberg, the director of media for Facebook, doesn't even know how to control the privacy settings of Facebook, which, of course, is not actually what happened. But still, you know, people found that that story became the story, whether it was true or not. And we've seen this so often, right? And Facebook is often at the center of those controversies. So she talks about that incident. And she says that, you know, the whole incident, quote, made me even more passionate about starting a discussion about our modern digital lives. Here I was, a living, breathing example of how tech could be a wonderful and amazing tool, but it could also get you into a lot of trouble. And I knew there were millions of people out there who could relate. And so, you know, I think that led to her wanting to write this book, actually. And I think that that is an important lesson for us all to think about. And I'm sure when she is here in the UGLC on the 21st, we'll be talking about that and a whole slew of other issues that she's dealing with as the head of a media company in New York.
Ezra, tell us a little bit more about the event, what time it starts, is it open to the public, etc.?
Yes. Well, like all of our events, this is open to the public. And this event, like so many of our events, is brought to our community because of a very generous grant from the Jewish Federation of Greater El Paso. And for 75 years, they've been here in our borderland and doing a tremendous amount to improve the lives of our entire community. And so we're very thankful for them and their support for all of our programming. It is totally free and open to the public. There'll be free parking over at the UTEP Sun Bowl Garage. And it starts at 7 p.m. Tuesday, February 21st in the Undergraduate Learning Center, the UGLC, in room 106. And that is one of our biggest classrooms on campus, so biggest auditorium. So we know we're expecting a very, very large crowd. And Randy will be there. And we're also going to have a book signing. Books will be for sale. And she will be signing her books afterwards. So it'll be a wonderful opportunity to learn more about these issues that we've been discussing here and to think about the role of technology in our lives, both for good and perhaps for bad, and what we could do to limit some of those perhaps negative unintended consequences.
We want to thank you so much for this great opportunity that you always give us, bringing these renowned speakers to come to UTEP, and this is going to be happening again this Tuesday, the 21st at 7 p.m. in the Undergraduate Learning Center, room 106, Randy Zuckerberg, and she is the sister of Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me in.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.